Respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, we are fortunate to have Hazrat Mullah Junaid Adam Sahab, who is from PE, but formerly from Durban, Reservoir Hills, and most of you are familiar with him. He had been many years here teaching in the Al Falah, which was formerly known as Lockhart Islamia. He used to teach there for years, and Alhamdulillah, he did great effort. Inshallah, he will address us today, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya al-mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa sahabihi wa barik wa sallim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds, Master of the Day of Judgment, salawat and blessings on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and those that follow them till the end of time. Alhamdulillah, I'm grateful that Maulana has given me the opportunity to speak here. Whenever we come to this masjid, we are always reminded and we remember this masjid with Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahimahullah. And Alhamdulillah, his legacy lives on, and the efforts that he made just making wudu in the wudu khana and on the notice board. We notice so many things that are taking place in this town and so many events that take place and so much of information. This shows the efforts that were made by our, what we would call our Salaf al-Saliheen. They are our Salaf al-Saliheen. They are our pious predecessors. And they have left behind for us a legacy in all aspects of deen, in all avenues of deen, in all directions. With this in mind, that how the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may not experience any difficulty, and they may be able to practice their deen in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and in a manner that they will reach their eventual destination, which is Jannatul Firdaus, insha'Allah. Just if you mentioned, I am from Durban. I've lived all my life here, and then I moved over to PE, Port Elizabeth. So I feel at home in this place. However, a turning point, which I just want to mention, that sometimes some people impact in your life, and they make the impact on your life in such a way, and then your life changes. I went to study, and I knew nothing about ulama or alim classes. However, once at the masjid in Reservoir Hills, whilst I was in high school, we came for Jum'ah Salah, and there was no one, there was no alim to perform the Jum'ah Salah. They're waiting for the alim to come. Normally, somebody would come from another place or another masjid. Nobody came. It came for time for salah. So nobody there for Juma. And we were ignorant. Many people were ignorant. And they said, okay, since there is no person to make the Juma salah, we will read Zohar salah. So in that masjid, Zohar salah was made. They chose the oldest person who used to make some imamat now and then, and they put him in front. Probably the pressure of that time and the situation, when he started the Zuhar Salah, he also started reading the Salah loudly. And no one was bold enough to correct him, and he read the Zuhar Salah Jahran. And thereafter we made Sujood Sahwi. At that point and time, I just felt that this is not the situation. We are living in this place. We have a masjid. Something has to be done. And through the effort of the Tabligh Jamaat and encouragement, I decided, okay, I will go and study deen. He said, well, if you want to study deen, you go and meet Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah. I have never known who Maulana Yunus Patel was. He said, you go to Sayani Arcade, IPC or something near there, and you will find an office. It was an office, small office. I went there. I went to Maulana and I told Maulana that I want to go to India. So Maulana said, leave India. You don't know about India. I know about India. You go to Newcastle. And if you think you like to what you want to do, then you can always go to India. And that is how I studied, I learned, I completed there in Newcastle. Maulana Yunus Patel Rahimahullah, he was also the trustee of the Darul Uloom. And that is how I came into contact with him. The moment I finished my studies, Maulana said, well, you come and you work in the Jamiat office. There was no post. Well, he was proactive, like the ANC, job creation. He created a post And the Jamiat office to operate mornings only. He said, okay, now we will operate even in the afternoons. So every afternoon I used to go and work in the Jamiat office. However, be that as it may, he was an inspiration for one and all. And so we are hopeful that inshallah, that the ulama of this town, they continue that legacy so that there is no vacuum in the community. Because they say there's no such thing as a vacuum. When something goes out, something else will come in. And if we don't replace it with something that is good, then evil will take foot and we will get the wrong person, the wrong people will come in, tricksters, charlatans, they will come in and they will take up those posts. And they will be firm on their post and we will not be able to remove them. And they will be the cause where the ummah will be led astray. And the legacy of our pious Salafus Salihin, like Mawlana Umarji, Mawlana Qasim Sima, and others who have impacted on the lives, on our lives, and on the lives of the community. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them khairul jaza, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our iman, and give us the ability to remain and continue their hard work, which they had started, and continue till the end of time. Insha'Allah, ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, this surah, we know we read it normally during Ramadan. Everyone likes the surah, Surah Rahman. Ar-Rahman, because of the rhyming in the surah, and فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. This insan, we are insan, it is a ni'mah from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made us human beings and He made us insan. He also is a ni'mah of Allah that He has given us and we have learnt, He has taught us the Qur'an and He has given us His speech, the Kalamullah, the Qur'an, which we can interact with. This is something, the speech of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can we imagine? We have the speech of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accessible right in front of us. That is our closest connection to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have His speech for all and sundry to take benefit from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also our creator, and He is also the creator of the angels. And He is also the creator of the animals and the insects and whatever we see around us, the rodents, whatever. The angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in a specific way that firstly, they don't eat. So they don't have to worry. There's no eating for them. They don't eat. And the angels, they are always in the obedience of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't sin. They have been created that way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. They are total in the obedience of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the animals, and He has created them to eat. He has created them to eat. And that is their job, and they do their job well. Their job is to eat. You'll find the animals, the cows, they are eating all the time. Nothing of the Sharia is imposed upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instinctively put it into them that this is what you must eat. Okay, this is what is halal for you. So the lion, he won't go and eating grass and potatoes. He will eat meat. The cows, they will eat those things that are benefit to them. The bees, they will look for those flowers. They know which flowers are poisonous. The birds know which flowers are poisonous. They won't go to those poisonous. But their whole work is eating and satisfying themselves. What we can say, satisfying the nafs and procreation. And between this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put insan, human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allamahu al-bayan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the favor and the ni'mah of bayan. Not the bayan, we're talking about bayan, yeah? But general speech, understanding, intellect, and to speak and communicate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved that for insan. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put some rules and regulations that we should strive. We should strive and be obedient like the angels. We should strive and be obedient like the angels. And we can benefit and we can eat and we can procreate according to the law of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us. But we have not been created just to gather food. The mice, the rats, Their job is to gather food. They're looking for food all the time. They gather and they put their food away. We are looking at all time how we can gather hasanat, how we can gather good deeds, how we can come closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a favor from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, which we should make qadr of, and we should make shukr of, that this is a favor from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as they tell us that many a times, many of the favors, we only value that favor when that favor is gone. They say, qadr al-ni'ma ba'da zawaliha, something like that. That you only value something when it is gone. That person who had eyesight and he became blind, then he values what it is to see. That person who has food and he loses food, now is hungry, now he values the food that he had wasted in the past. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and made us insan. At the same time, He has given us the Quran. These are all favors from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should treasure and we should value whilst we are alive. We should value it whilst we are alive. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us a further favor, and He made us the ummatis of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is an added ni'mah, and at the same time, an added responsibility. There was a time that the scholars, our elders, and our ulama, they always tell us that when we give Jummah talks, number one is, Maulana Yunus Patel rahimahullah used to say that, when you give, he should just tell us when we were just qualified. He said, when you give a talk, try and stick to the topic. He said, try and stick to the topic. And he gave us an example. I can't forget this word. He said, when he was in standard 9, he wrote one essay. And in that essay, the teacher gave a reply. He wrote about, I think he tried to fill the whole book in. So the teacher said, this is a conglomeration of disjointed facts. It means nothing. So we always like to stick to the topic. So, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahimahullah, he once went to some country, and the scholars also tell us that we must not be impressed with countries and take countries' names and people's names and show azmat to those things. But where there is a lesson to be learnt, we can use it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Holy Quran the name of Shaitan, the name of Qarun. Sometimes people mention the name of actors or they make some players. It doesn't matter as long as we're not giving reverence to those people. So he went on a lecture tour to some Western country, America, and he spoke to the people. And he, one of the things that he touched on, he said, he asked them that why is it that you do so much for the world? Wherever there is some catastrophe, wherever there's some problem, then the Americans are first there giving aid, doing so much of good, helping, charity. But why is it that people don't like you? They said, we don't know why. We do the most. Nobody likes us. So he was a physician. He was a doctor. Maulana Abul Hasan Najmi, rahimahullah. He said, the reason is that you are doing it for the wrong reason. You are not sincere in what you are doing. You are helping an African country like Malawi. Not because you want to help those people. But you want to see, what can I get out of these people? How can I subjugate these people? So you are doing it with the wrong intention. From this we learn the intention that we do anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would value when we do something with the correct intention. Now I'm just using that example to come into our situation. We are the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chosen ummah, the selected ummah, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us many things. He has promised us that we will be in charge. He promised us we will be on top. He promised us victory. But if one looks at our situation, it is terrible, despicable. We are the most hated nation in the world. Everyone has something bad to say about us. Whatever opportunity, anything takes bad that, like in a school when we teach, in a class when you're teaching, somebody makes a noise, you have one, you know, target. Because you know he is the only one that makes noise. He is the one that doesn't learn his lesson. He is the one that doesn't do his homework. So we are the target of the world. Anything bad that happens, it has to be the Muslims. There has to be a Muslim connection. Some white widow, black widow, whatever. somehow or the other that link will be linked and that it will see Muslims. Now what do? We try and look and we say, why are they saying this to us? We say, this is a false flag operation. This is a CIA operation. This is a Mossad operation. They want us to make us look bad. But why is this our situation? And we are looking for the faults in people that are criticizing us. Those people that have find fault with us, we're looking, what fault do they have to find fault with us? We are 1 billion strong, if the numbers are correct, and growing. For every, if you go in the street, they say there's, we are 1/5 of the world population. By the year 2020 or 2025, we'll be 1/4 of the world's population. So every person you go in the street, every 4th or every 5th person is a Muslim in the world. Every 5th person is a Muslim in the world. But at the same time, we have such a bad name. We have such a bad name. And one thing now at this moment in time that is really affecting us is the spying. That they have some satellites and they have some internet. Every phone call that you make, every SMS that you send, every tweet that you send out, everything, Facebook, Google, everything is monitored. And this is making us worry. This is making us worry as if we got something to hide. Yes, what we got to hide, we are scared. That's what we are hiding. We don't want to show them that we are scared. This, see, we seem to be affected by this. And we have somebody, WikiLeaks and Snowden, this one says that, and this is affecting us. So we are always looking for a solution to our problem somewhere else. Let us for a moment look at our own selves. Let us look whether the problem is with us or the problem is with them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that He would give us the best and He'll make us in charge and give us victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ أَتِيدٌ. Whatever we say, forget this national intelligence, forget all the spying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that every word that we utter, every word that comes out of our mouth, there is an angel there that is recording it. And that is what should concern us. That what we do, what we say in front of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that should be cause of concern for us. That we will come one day and stand in front of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all those recordings will be in place. All those recordings will be in place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question us. There is a hadith reported by Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. It is not a lengthy hadith, but I'll just go to the translations. That he asked the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he once got close to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him that show me some action that will take me into Jannah, will give me entry into Jannah and keep me far away from Jahannam. So the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said words something to this effect, my own translation, that you have asked me for something very, very big, but it is a very simple, it's a very easy route. It is a very easy route to get there. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, told him that we must believe in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establish salah, pay the zakat, perform the hajj. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that should I not show you the door, like a shortcut, the doors to get through good. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him about sawm, about fasting. That fasting is a shield. As-sawmu junnatun. It is a shield. Now one is you want to get into paradise. At the same time, you want to take all the precautions that nothing must affect you. He mentioned that fasting is a shield. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned sadaqah will wipe away your sins just the way that water will wipe away fire. And thereafter Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him about salah is the pillar and told him about jihad is the peak of everything. And thereafter Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him the most crucial thing. All this salah, all this zakat, all this hajj, all this fasting, all this jihad, all this learning, all this dhikr, it is all resting on a foundation. The word is used milak. Everything is resting on this foundation. You pull that stone, everything will crumble. So when he asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is that? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him your tongue. This is the foundation for all your good deeds. So he asked the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will we be accountable for the things that we say for our speech? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may your mother be sacrificed. People will be dragged on their faces, head down, they'll be dragged in, thrown into Jahannam because of the investments of the tongue, the investments of the speech. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck what we say the nerve or the exact spot, that this is a danger spot. This is a danger zone, that if we cannot control our character, our akhlaq, our speech, the way we conduct ourselves and the manner in which we conduct ourselves, then we stand a risk of losing out a lot. So when people dislike us, don't see what is the fault in them. Look at our own behavior. Look at our own character. Look at the ummah. What is their character and what is their behavior? We've also been taught that we shouldn't wash. They said, don't wash the dirty linen. But I just had one experience which I'll share with you. This was on Tuesday. I was in PE, I was walking past a shop, so the person called me, and he, Hindu people, and he says that, we are Hindus, but he said, we always have respect for the Muslims. But he said, I know there's good Muslims, I know there's bad Muslims, we all have good and bad, but this one I cannot understand. So I asked, what is the situation? She says, no, this is my shop and I rented it out to a Muslim. I rented it out to him. And he said he's going to use the shop. He wants it now because he's doing qurbani and he wants to cut the meat. However, she says that he went, he collected money to buy the qurbani animals. He went to the farmer. He ordered the sheep or the lambs. He had it delivered. The farmer came, delivered it, and he said, on Monday, he will come and fetch the money. The farmer said, I'll come. Monday, this person is nowhere to be seen. 150 lambs or 150 sheep, qurbani, of the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this person is taken away. So she said, you know, people do things that are wrong, but to do something wrong when it is your act of ibadat, I can't comprehend that. Now that is a non-Muslim looking at us from the outside. She cannot comprehend that somebody would cheat on a great act of ibadat like our Eid. So we have to look at our own selves and see how we can improve. And this one area that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, this area of our speech and what we say. We know now with the internet, we say, what mahala? You get so many free minutes. We told there's no such thing as free. Nothing is free. Somebody invite you for lunch, it's not free. There's something to it. They go to the shop, they say, buy one, get one free. You're paying for the whole thing. So there's nothing free. So there's no such thing as free minutes. And there's no such thing as total freedom in a country. Our freedom is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to do. Our freedom is what Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to do. And our freedom is called taqwa. That's our freedom. Taqwa is our freedom. So those free minutes it's not free minutes. Those free minutes can land a person into the fire of Jahannam. That same data, that same internet, that same tweet, that same SMS. I think it's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu where he said that a person says something about bringing the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he doesn't know the effect of his word. That word of his earns the pleasure of Almighty Allah to such an extent that it will take him right into Jannah. And another person says something that earns the displeasure of Allah, And he thinks nothing about it. He says it's a joke. He says something is a joke, or he just backbites, or he says something bad, or he slanders, or he swears somebody, or he calls somebody a bad name. Abu Huraira said, that person, when he comes, that word of his, he does not know where it reaches. And that word of his will take him into the fire of Jahannam. In today's age of technology, where everything at the press of the button, 150 million people can hear you when you're on the radio. Say something wrong, insult somebody, say something bad about somebody, backbite about somebody, 150 million people hear about it, and that sin you will share when they take it on, when they retweet it, when they post it on Facebook, you will share in that. So we as the Ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us look back at our own habits, our own ways, look at our speech, what we say, what we're saying on the internet, what we're saying physically, because today the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also mentioned, who is a believer? Who is a good believer? Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. That person is a true believer, who other Muslims are saved from his hands, either physical or the Twitter, wa lisani from his tongue. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and help us to guard our tongue so that we do not jeopardize our akhirah. And the scholars of Islam has mentioned that before you say anything, think about it. Before you say anything, think about it. Should I say it or not? It's not necessary, don't say it. And try and replace futile talk with the dhikr of Allah. That is a way that will combat us from saying everything and anything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide one and all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.